Amen. God is good, and His mercy endureth forever. Many of us have realized since we've last met, many have had to answer the call of death, but God's been good to us, allowed us to stay on this side of life just a little while longer. We realize and we recognize that God didn't have to do it, but we're sure thankful that God did. This is another expression of the goodness and the graciousness of God. David said a long time ago, David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod, Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." And then he says, I said all that to get to this point. He says, surely, he said, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And that's the beauty of having the Lord as your shepherd. You want to be in the Lord's house. I'm grateful to be able to come back again. I had no idea I'd be coming back this soon to Stony Island, but I appreciate so very, very much the invite, and my schedule allowed me to return back here to you, and I appreciate so very, very much the warmth of this congregation. I appreciate your elders, Brother Jackson, Brother Burnside. I appreciate those men, your minister, Brother Carter. I appreciate these men and allow me the opportunity to stand before you again and preach to you my faith in Jesus Christ. I'm just so grateful. I tell you, this, my heart was just overwhelmed today to see members who I had the privilege of ministering to them when I was ministering in Rockford at Westside, and they came over and they surprised me today, and I just want them to know words can't even express. It's just good to see them again, Brother Shaw, Sister Ronnie. Good. Now I'll be in trouble. Let me forget one person. Let me forget one person, and I'm in trouble. But I'm going to try to do this. I'm going to try to do it. But I appreciate Ronnie and Brother Shaw, appreciate you all so very, very much. Sister Gully, Loretta Gully, God bless you. Sister Val, Felicia, it's just good to see you. And I can't believe how beautiful Marlisha is. She was such a little girl. I'm telling you the truth. She was a little girl in school that we had there. Now she's just has grown up, and it's just great. It's just great to see her. Good to see Mama Dean. Good to see Brother Anthony, my friend. I consider Anthony a close friend of mine, and I appreciate him. And it's just good to see it. I appreciate the kindness of Brother and Sister Cabot. Words can't express how I feel about them. I love them both dearly. He was in Florida a few weeks ago, and we had a chance to fellowship together, and it was just great to see them and spending time with them on the golf course, tearing up those people's grass. But we just had a wonderful time doing that. It's great to see my family. When I say my family, those are close to me. And I want them to know, brother and sister, you know, let me do this without getting emotional. It's just good to see them. Toll free, they're family. They're my family, and I love them so very, very much. And then also, it's just great to see. Thank you. I was wondering about this because I was going to grab this and just run with it. It's great to see also Sister Lewis. Brother Kurt, Sister Lisa, it's just great to see you all as well. I just appreciate you all so very, very much taking the time to come over and spend this. Now, who I forgot? Who did I forget? Did I forget anybody? I will make sure I got everybody now. Let me make sure I got everybody now, because I don't want y'all be mad with me. But y'all please stand up. I want the folk to see all the folk I had the privilege of ministering to from Rockford. God bless each and every one of y'all. God bless y'all. Thank y'all so much for coming. And Stony Island, it's good to see you all as well. And I appreciate you all, and I thank you all so very, very much. Now, let's go to the job at hand. Let's go. I'm already in my conclusion. Don't believe that. Don't believe that. Don't believe that. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Acts 2, 47. Now, the announced sermon is going to be God's plan to save man. And I want us to see this, that God had a plan by which and through which He was going to save man. And God gave us glimpses of his plan in the Old Testament. And so I want you to see this, because the Bible says in Acts 2:47, listen to Luke. Luke says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Some version of the Bible says God added to the church daily those that were being saved. Now, I want us to understand this, and I want you to see this. I want you to see this clear. My point today is going to be very simple. I want you to see, number one, God's plan, how God was going to save man. Now, the Bible tells very plainly that what God did was all the saved of those in the church, which means there are no unsaved people in the church. And in order to be saved, you have to be in the church. I'm going to show you that today. Then I'm going to show you number two, that everybody God saves, he saves them the same way. I want you to see that. We're going to look at that. We're going to study. Have a good study today through God's word. And then number three, I want you to see that that God saves the same way. And then I want you to understand, all those who God saved, he calls them or he places them in the same place. And that's what Acts 2:47 tells us. That the saved, he said, praise the God, have faith on people, and the Lord adds to the church daily those that were being saved. Now, what I need to do this morning in this lesson, we're going to go to the Old Testament, because we still believe in Romans 15:4, where the Bible said those things that were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. Now, all the saved are in the church, and the church make up the saved. I want you to see that. I want you to understand, because this is a good lesson for those who are members of the Church of Christ and those who are not members of the Church of Christ. This is an excellent lesson for you to have a good understanding that God never intended for there to be various ways of religion in our land today. There is but one church, and God saves only one way. Now, let's go to the Bible. Let's go to the Bible. Hope you got your Bible, and I hope my Bible reader is ready today. All right. There you go, Elder Burnside. I'm looking for you. All right, Elder Burnside, what we're going to do is very simple. We're going to go to the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus, you can just meet me at chapter 3 and verse number 10. In the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 3, and the verse is number 10. Now, let me just set this up real fast. I'll try to go as quick as I possibly can. You remember, when the book of Exodus opens up, we see the children of Israel are down in Egyptian land. They are down in Egypt. Now, what happened was, initially, they went down there, you remember, because Joseph was there. And when there was a famine in the land, there was only food in Egypt. And because Joseph's brothers had did him wrong, he finds himself in Egyptian land. Now, while down there in Egypt, Joseph is very powerful. He is the second one in command. But by the time the book of Exodus opens up, we see that Joseph has died, and then there arose a Pharaoh that did not know Joseph. Pharaoh means king. He was the one who was king of Egypt. Now, during this time, what happened was, God was blessing his people. He was blessing them so much, until the Bible says they began to multiply. And they multiplied so much until the Egyptians got concerned about them. They said, these folk are multiplying so fast, if we don't do something, that they may align themselves with our enemies and then fight against us, and we're going to be outnumbered. So we better do something. So they made their task hard, but they kept on multiplying. They did all kinds of things, took away the straw, but they kept on multiplying. And then after a while, they decided, you know, we better do some of these folk. And so they began to enslave them and put hard tasks on them. But through all of this, God was still with his people. And then we find during this time, Pharaoh got concerned. If somebody's going to rise up among them, he said, it's going to be a male. So we better kill off all those boys. We better kill off all the boys just to make sure that we don't have no problems with these with these people who are down here, these Israelites, if you will. And the Bible says he gave the command that all the boys that were born, to kill them all, but to leave the girls alive. Well, y'all know the story. Well, there were two midwives who would not listen to what Pharaoh said and what they were doing. They were trying to save those boys. Well, during this time, as I fast forward, there was a young man who was born. And his mama hid him for 3 months. But when she couldn't hide him any longer, she made a little basket, if you would, and set him by the river brink. And there in the river, he just waded in the water. And the mother of the child told the older sister, said, I want you to go and I want you to keep your eye on your brother just to see what will happen to him. Now, you got to understand that this is the providence of God. Because there, the Bible says, one day, Pharaoh's daughter decided to go and take a bath. Now, as she goes to take a bath, she has a servant with her. She notices that there was a baby that was in a basket, if you will, by the river brink. This is the providence of God. How do you know? Because in the Nile River, when it happened, remember they were throwing the babies in the Nile River to drown them, those male boys? Well, because back then, you remember now, there were crocodiles, if you will, in the Nile River. And of all places to take a bath, why in the world would she choose this place? I stopped by to tell you, God was in the plan. And as she went to take the bath, she notices the boy. Well, when she had her servants to go fetch the boy, she sees it's one of those Hebrew children. And around that time, when she recognizes that the child's sister, which she didn't know, steps up and says to Pharaoh's daughter, I know a Hebrew woman that recently had a baby. And what she'll do, she can nurse that child for you. And Pharaoh's daughter said, that's a good idea. Go ahead and get her. And watch this. Go ahead and get her, and I will pay her for doing this for me. You can't tell me God is not in this. Because the mama is taking care of her child and getting paid for it. You can't tell me God is not a part of this. Well, the Bible goes on to say that she calls the child Moses. And Moses means drawn from the water. And you all know the Bible says that he was there, but you got to read Acts chapter 7, because as Stephen tells the story, he fills in the blanks. He tells us that Moses is down there in Egypt, but Moses always knew that he was not an Egyptian. He knew that he was a Hebrew. He knew he was a Jew. And he had a task of delivering God's people from Egyptian bondage. Well, one day he saw an Egyptian mistreating one of his Hebrew brethren. And he stepped up, kills the Egyptian, hides him in the sand. He thought everything was fine. He didn't realize that somebody had knew about his misdeeds. Well, the next day he saw two of his Hebrew brethren who were fighting one against the other. He steps up and he tells them, why are you all fighting one another? He said, you all are brethren. And then one of the Hebrews told him, said, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to kill us just like you did that Egyptian the other day? And then Moses recognized his secret was out. So Moses had to get out of town. He leaves now. He's 40 years old. He leaves and he goes to a place, to a backside of a desert. Y'all know, eventually he runs into a man by the name of Jethro. He ends up tending the sheep of Jethro. And one day as he's tending sheep, he sees something that was very strange. He saw a bush that was burning. But the problem was the bush was not consumed. And this caught his attention, and he began to walk towards the bush. And he noticed as he got close to the bush, there was a voice that spoke to him and said, take off your shoes, because the ground you're standing on is holy ground. I often wondered about that, but I just believe that God wanted him to take his shoes off because his shoes were man-made. And if you're going to ever approach God, you got to take off everything that's man-made. You cannot approach God and expect to go to heaven with a man-made religion. All of that stuff has to be taken off. Where the Bible said God tells him that I'm going to use you as my spokesman to let my people go. Hey, y'all know the story. Moses came up with a whole bunch of excuses. He was saying, well, if I go down there and they ask me who sent me, I don't know what to tell them. What shall I say? Well, God said, you tell them I am. I am sent you. Well, that seemed like it's incomplete. But when you're talking about God, whatever you need, he said, that's exactly what I am. It doesn't. If you need a friend, I'll be your friend. If you need a mother, I'll be your mother. If you need a father, I'll be your father. I am Moses, whatever you need. Y'all know Moses began to go through various excuses. And then finally Moses says, I don't speak well. I have a stuttering problem. Well, God said, well, no problem. You got a brother who's 3 years older than you, Aaron. He's been listening to you stutter your whole life. So what I want you to do, I want you to stutter the words to Aaron. And then Aaron's going to tell Pharaoh what it is you're trying to say. So Moses never actually said anything to Pharaoh. He just stuttered the words to Aaron, and Aaron told Pharaoh exactly what it was his brother Moses was saying. God took away all his excuses. And then finally he tells him that, look at, I'm in chapter 3 now. I fast forward through all about 3 chapters here, at least 2 chapters. And now I'm in chapter 3 and verse 7. I want you to watch this now. Because God's people are in bondage. And I want you to understand the spiritual significance behind this. The bondage today, it represents anybody that's in sin. If you are in sin, if you don't know Jesus in the pardoning of your sin, if you have not been baptized in water for sin's remission, you are still in bondage. Now, the Bible says that here they were, the people in bondage. Now, God was going to get them out of bondage. Now, in order for God to get them out of bondage, God needed a deliverer. Watch the Bible. Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 10. What does the Bible say?
Come now, therefore.
Come on. Now, watch this. I'm going to send you to Pharaoh.
That thou mayest bring forth my people.
That you may bring forth or deliver my people. The children of Israel. Now, God says he only had one person that was going to deliver them. Now, I want you to see the parallel here now. I want you to see the parallel here. Just like God had one deliverer then, God only has one deliverer today. Look at the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 15. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 15, God had one deliverer then, and God only has one deliverer today. Watch what the Bible says, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 15. What does Paul say?
This is a faithful saying.
Paul said this is a faithful saying.
And worthy of all acceptation
that Christ Jesus
came
into the world
to save sinners.
He came for one purpose, to deliver man from his sin. There was only one deliverer then. There was only one deliverer today. Now, in order for them to believe Moses, there were some things Moses had to do. We're back at Exodus chapter 4. In Exodus chapter 4, and let's look at verse number 29. In Exodus chapter 4 and verse number 29, they had one deliverer, and the book said there was something. How will he get the people to believe him? Well, Exodus 4, verse number 29 says what, sir?
And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel.
Go to read, sir.
And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses.
Go to read, sir.
And did the signs in the sight of the people.
He did signs in the sight of the people. And this caused what? Go to read, sir.
And the people believed.
Watch this now. When he did the signs, that's when they believed. Well, I stopped by to tell you, when God sent Jesus Christ, the deliverer today, to deliver man from his sin, he sent him with signs that you and I might believe. Look at the Bible. John chapter 20 and verse number 30. John chapter 20 and verse number 30. The Bible says many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe
and believing, you might have life through his name. Just like he had one deliverer then who had to use signs for the people to believe, God used one deliverer today. And when he sent his son, he allowed his son to do signs and miracles that the people might believe. And then, my friend, you remember. Now, Moses goes to Pharaoh. He tells Pharaoh to let my people go. Now, what God does, God uses miracles. Now, we call them, we call them plagues. We say that there were 10 plagues. Well, these were miracles. These were miracles that God was doing. I'll show you that in just a moment. These were miracles that God was doing. God, you remember all the things that God did? God allowed, initially the water turned to blood, and then God used frogs, and God used lice, and God used darkness, God used hail. God used all of these. These were nothing but miracles that God was doing. Now, God got down to the last miracle. And God told Moses, after this plague, after this miracle, he's going to let you all go. He's going to let the Hebrews, he's going to let my people go. And the last plague was the death of the firstborn. Now God says, Israel is my firstborn, and because he has bothered my firstborn, I'm going to kill all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. Now here's the problem. God's people were in Egypt as well. But the remedy was they had to have a lamb. And the lamb, blood, had to be shed. They had to take the blood and put it on both side posts, and then they had to put it on the top. Now, God tells Moses that I'm going to send death through the streets of Egypt. And any house that does not have the blood, death was going to visit their house. But I need to tell you this. They had to choose a lamb, but not just any lamb. It had to be a special lamb that they selected. All right? Y'all ain't looking right. Let's go to the book. Let's go to the book. Whenever folk look like that, I said, I better show you some book. Well, and let's go to Exodus. Exodus chapter 12. In the book of Exodus chapter 12, and meet me at verse number 5. Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 5. Let's see what... That's number 1. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. They had to choose a lamb. And number 1, the lamb had to be without blemish. Look at verse number 21. Look at verse number 21. All right? We're same chapter. Verse 21.
Then Moses called all the elders of Israel.
Go ahead and read, sir.
And said unto them.
Draw out.
And take you a lamb.
Take you a lamb.
According to your family.
Watch the book now. Don't miss this now. Number 1, the lamb had to be without blemish. Number 2, the lamb had to be called the Passover. Look at verse number 46. Verse number 46 says what, sir? Exodus 12, 46.
In one house. Shall it be eaten?
And go ahead and read.
Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house.
Go ahead and read, sir. Number 3, a bone cannot be broken. 3 things the lamb you're going to select. Number 1, we got to find a lamb that's without blemish. Number 2, he has to be called the Passover. Number 3, not a bone shall be broken. I think I can find that in the New Testament. All right, let's find a lamb. Go to John chapter 1 and verse number 29. Then I'm going to go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18. Then I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 and verse number 7. Then I'm going to conclude in John chapter 19, verse number 36. And Elder Burnside didn't turn to nothing I just said. Bless you. Bless your heart, Brother Burnside. Don't worry. You don't have to write nothing down. I got it programmed in my head. All right. First of all, I said we got to find a lamb. Let's see a person that can be a lamb. John 1:29, the Bible says what? the next day, John seeing Jesus
coming
unto him.
And
John said,
Behold,
the Lamb of God that take away the sins of the world. Number one, we got a lamb. But does this lamb meet the three qualifications? Well, let's see the book. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18. Let's see if this lamb meets all of the qualifications. If you have the book, sir, go ahead and read.
For as much.
As you know that.
You were not redeemed.
With corruptible things.
As silver
and gold.
From your vain conversation.
Come on, read, sir.
Received by tradition.
From your father.
But
you were redeemed with the precious blood.
Of Christ.
As of a lamb.
Without blemish.
So I said, we got a lamb. Jesus, he is, the Bible says, a lamb without blemish. But then not only that, but the second thing, remember, has to be the Passover. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 6, let's see what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 6.
1 Corinthians 5
verse 6. Yes. Your glory is not good. Yeah, that's the right one, Elder Birdseye. You read like you weren't sure. I got you. Your glory is not good. Come on. Don't you know
that a little
leaven
leaveneth
the whole lump? Come on.
Purge out therefore
the old leaven
that you may be a new lump
as you are unleavened.
For even Christ.
Christ our what?
Passover.
Christ is our Passover. Look at what we have, you all. We got a lamb. He is without blemish. And the Bible says he is the Passover. But then we got one more qualification for this lamb. Well, the Bible says that not a bone shall be broken. And I know that's talking about Christ, because the Bible said in John 19 and verse number 36. In John chapter 19 and verse number 36, watch what the Bible says.
For these things were done. That the scriptures might be fulfilled. A bone of him. Shall not be broken.
And so I stopped by to say the blood that we're looking for is the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the blood. Thank God his blood is different than anybody else's blood. You know, today we have blood transfusion. Dr. Charles Drew, an African-American man, he came up with blood banking, in which he brought into blood transfusion. We have the ability today to take blood from one person and give that blood to somebody else. But I stopped by to tell you, everybody can't receive anybody's blood. It has to match up. You have to have the right blood type. But I stopped by to tell you, Jesus' blood is so awesome that Jesus said, whosoever will, he said, just let him come. Whenever you give blood, they put blood in a preservative called heparin or coumarin. But it can only keep the blood for so long. And then they would have to discard the blood. But I'm glad that the blood of Jesus that was shed almost 2,000 years ago, that blood was good then. And that blood is still good today. Thank God. Thank God for the blood. No wonder the hymnologist said there is a fountain that's filled with blood. It's drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath the flood to lose all of their guilty stain. No wonder the hymnologist said, there is power. There is power. There is wonder working power in the blood. In the blood. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. And then, as I run back to the book of Exodus, let me just show you this. Because in Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 12, I want you to see something. Because God was not just flexing his muscles. With those ten plagues, those ten miracles, God was not just flexing muscles here. God was not just doing something just to be doing something. You got to understand this. There were, down in Egypt, there were over 80 different gods that they worshiped. They were what you call a polytheistic society. They worship multiple gods. And what God was doing, God wanted to let them know that there was no God that was equal to him. And so what God did, the first God took care of was, it was the God of the Nile. They believed the God of life. And so God turned water into blood. God said, I'm so awesome that I can do something and there's nothing your God can do about it. And then God got down to the last plague, the God they had of fertility. God said, I can kill off the firstborn and there's nothing your God can do about it. That's why the Bible says in Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 12, watch what the Bible says.
You have it?
And this is what God says, I will pass through the land of Egypt. Come on. This night. I'm going to smite all the firstborn, come on,
in the land of Egypt,
come on,
man
and beast, come on.
You see what God said?
God said, I'm against all the gods of Egypt. Everyone y'all are worshiping now, I'm against all of them. And I'm going to show you my power. So what the 10 plagues did, they defeated the gods they had down there in Egypt to let them know that their gods could not match up against them. And so the Bible says, go to read. Go to read, sir.
I will execute judgment.
God says, I'm going to execute judgment.
I am the Lord.
You see what God says? I am the Lord. Now, you know how what happened eventually. When the 10th plague came, the Bible says, now Pharaoh, he allows them to leave. Now, I want you to understand this. There were two parts to their salvation. In order for God to deliver his people. Now, the word, I should have mentioned that. The word salvation, salvation. Salvation comes from a Greek word, soteria. And it literally means to be delivered from. Soteria, delivered from. Salvation is the idea, is the act of delivering from. From bondage, from harm, to safety. So what God did, God chose two ways. Now in order for the Israelites, the Hebrews, to be saved, there were two things that had to be done. The first thing is what we saw. The blood had to be shed. But even though the blood was shed, they were still in bondage. They were still in bondage. Now, the second part to their freedom was God had to take them through the water. The same way it is today. We are saved when the blood and the water work together. And I'll show you that before I sit down. Unless y'all get bored and start yawning, then I'll conclude quicker. But go with me now. You know, y'all been good. Y'all been good. Keep looking the way y'all looking. Y'all looking like y'all interested. Keep looking that way. Now, go to chapter 14. Go to chapter 14 and verse number 10. Go to Exodus chapter 14 and because I want to see this. Because now the first part has been done. The blood was shed, which spared them from death, but they're still in bondage. All right? Because why? They are still in Egyptian land. In order for them to be free, they got to get out of Egypt. All right? Now, in order to get out of Egypt, they run right into the Red Sea. Here's the obstacle that's stopping them from the... I wish I had time because when you read it carefully, church, God brings them this way. God chose this path. Because when you read it carefully, and go back and read it, please, chapter 12 and chapter 13, as God brings them to the Red Sea, there are mountains on both sides. The Egyptians are going to be coming up behind them. Church, they can't go left. They can't go right. And they can't turn back. The only thing they could do is trust God enough to move forward. God wants them to move forward. All right? Now, in chapter 14 and verse number 10, watch what the Bible says. Come on. Watch this now. Now, Pharaoh let him go, but now, you got to understand this. This is the beauty of baptism. Pharaoh and the Egyptians represent Israel's past. And I want you to understand this. It does not matter what you have done. God has a way of dealing with your past. I said, God can completely erase your past. That's why you ought to come to Jesus. And the book says, because when God redeems us, he completely erases everything we've ever done. That ain't God awesome. And that's why the Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Yeah, that's how awesome God is. When folks bring up your past, your job is to look at them and say, so? Yeah. Yeah, when they talk about all the stuff you used to do, just look at them and say, so? Yeah, because when God redeems you, he sets you free. Yeah. All right, now we're in chapter 14, verse number 10. Now, when Pharaoh and his army, when they drew nigh, watch the book. Go to read.
The children of Israel lifted up their eyes and behold.
They lifted up their eyes and behold. Watch this now. Church, they see their past coming up behind them. All right, now go to read, sir.
And they were so afraid.
Watch this now. They were scared to death. They were scared to death. Their past is coming up behind them. Go to read, sir.
And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord.
And the children of Israel, they cry out to the Lord. Oh, I hope it's not the page you read, my brother. I hope it's not the page you read. All right. And they cry out to the Lord. Come on, sir.
And they said unto Moses,
because there were no graves in Egypt,
hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness?
And they something else. They have been complaining all these years, and now God is trying to help them, and they still complain. And I tell folks all the time, don't complain. Just stop complaining. Listen, if you can do something about the situation, do something. If you can't do anything, leave it in God's hands. But no need for you to complain, because when you complain, you get bitter. And when you get bitter, you start lying. All right, y'all ain't right. Read the book. The Bible tells you, watch this. Don't get bitter, because you're going to start lying. And the Bible says what? So go to read.
Wherefore thou hast thou dealt with us?
Why have you dealt with us? Why have you dealt with us this way and brought us out of Egypt? Go to read, sir.
Is it not just the word that we did tell
you? Didn't we tell you? Watch it. Get bitter. What happened? You're going to start lying. Watch this. Didn't we tell you, Moses?
Say, let us alone.
Didn't we tell you to leave us alone?
That we may serve Egypt.
Didn't we tell you just let us stay here and serve these? Not a lie. Not a lie. Don't complain, because it's going to lead to bitterness. It's going to lead to distortion of the truth. All right? And the Bible says what, sir? Watch the book.
For it has been better for us to serve Egypt.
Oh, look at this, church. They say it was better for us to serve the Egyptians,
then that we should die in the wilderness.
Than for us to die in this wilderness. Go to read, sir. Go to read.
And Moses said unto the people.
Be not. Don't be afraid.
Stand still.
That's what I need y'all to do. Just stand still.
And see the salvation of the Lord.
You see, that's the problem. A lot of folks, that they do too much movement trying to do stuff themselves. Stand still. And watch God go to work. Sometimes God can't go to work because we in God's way. Stand still. And watch God go to work. And the Bible says what, sir?
What he will show to you today.
And watch this now. God going to show you today. He going to show you his power today. And the Bible says what, sir?
For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today.
Your past that you see today. Come on.
You shall see them again no more forever.
God said, I'm going to take care of your past. Don't you worry about folks coming up behind you bothering you. God said, I'm going to take care of it. And the Bible says what, sir?
The Lord.
Don't miss this. God said, I'm going to fight this battle. Go to read. Y'all just be quiet. That's what God said. God said, hush. I'm going to go to work. Go to read, sir.
And the Lord said unto Moses. Why wert thou unto me?
God told Moses, why are you bothering me? What you praying to me for? I told you what I want you to do. Go to read, sir. Tell the children of Israel
that they go forth.
It's time to start moving. Hold on, God. How are we going to move? We got a Red Sea in front of us. But don't worry about that. When God tells you something, we got to learn to move by faith. Faith is church when we trust God. That's what the Bible says. Come here, Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord. Then the Bible said, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge. But oh my goodness, that's 10 minutes of preaching right there. I'm not going to belabor the point, but let me just say this. The Hebrew word for trust, it's the same word we get for stretcher. It means to stretch out on. If God forbid, if you ever got into an accident and you were injured and you couldn't make it to the doctor, EMS will come where you are. and they will extract you from the vehicle, and they will place you on a stretcher. Now, when you're placed on a stretcher, you got to understand this, your feet are no longer on the ground. You don't control where they take you. You are being carried by somebody else. God is trying to help us to see this, that until I can get you in position where you stop doing stuff yourself and start stretching out on me, I can never work the work I'm trying to work in you and get you to where I want you to be. We got to learn to stretch out on. Stretch out on the Lord. And then the Bible says you got to learn to acknowledge him in all your ways. Too many times we take credit that belongs to God. Church, learn in life everything you do to give God credit for it. If you wake up, it wasn't your alarm clock. If you get up in the morning, thank you, Lord. If you have a job, thank you, Lord. If you don't have a job, but you still eat every day, thank you, Lord. If you make it to the store and the parking lot is full and you get a park way in the back, thank you, Lord. If you get one up close, thank you, Lord. Because even if you got one way in the back, you need to exercise anyway, helping somebody. And so it's still, thank you, Lord. If you go to the grocery store, the meat is on sale, thank you, Lord. If it's not on sale, but you can still afford to buy it, thank you, Lord, anyway. And so there's so much we got to learn to stop taking credit for stuff that belongs to God. And God tells him, he says, I'm going to fight your battle. This battle is mine. I'm going to fight your battle. And Elder Burnside, the Bible says,
but lift thou up thy rod.
Watch Moses, that stick in your hand, that came from a dead tree. I want you to lift up that dead wood. Because I'm going to bring salvation. When you lift up, well, that's powerful. That's a powerful analogy, because I'll make an analogy here today between Moses and Christ. Because did Jesus say, if I be, when he was on that cross, when I be lifted up, I'm going to draw all men unto me. Salvation going to come when I'm lifted up. He told Moses, lift up your rod. And watch the Bible. Go to read, sir.
Stretch out thy hand.
Stretch out. When Christ was on the cross, stretched out hand. Come on, sir. Come on.
Over the sea.
Watch this now, and I want you to divide it. Go ahead and read, sir.
And the children of Israel.
Watch this, church. He didn't take them through, and there was mud. Because if they walked in mud, there would be dirt on their shoes. When God brought them across, he brought them clean across. And another thing. If it was mud, mud left footprints. And you could always see where you've been. But God said, I'm going to fix this thing so. I'm going to clean up your past so good until folk won't even know where you've been. I know that's right. Because you got some folk in the church. If you found out some of the stuff they used to do, it will scare you. You'll move your pew, go to another pew. Now, I'm sitting there scaring you to death. But God has a way of cleaning us up so good that there is no trace of where we've been. And the book said, let me hurry. And the Bible says, what, sir?
Through the midst of the sea.
Watch it. I'm going to take y'all through the midst, not on the edge. I'm going to take y'all right through the middle of the Red Sea. Come on, read, sir.
And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians.
Watch it. I'm going to harden the hearts of the Egyptians, your past. I have a way of dealing with your past. What are you going to deal with it, God? I'm going to deal with your past in the water. If you want your past to be erased, what God is trying to help us understand today, if I can get you and your past in the water, I can take care of your past. Watch how completely God takes care of their past. And the Bible says what, sir?
And I will give you honor upon Pharaoh.
And God said, I want to give you some honor on Pharaoh.
Upon all the
host. His host. Chariots, horsemen,
and the Egyptians said no.
And watch this, when I finish, they're going to know
that I am the Lord.
They're going to know who I am. Go ahead and read, sir.
When I have gotten
some honor on Pharaoh's head, come on.
On his chariots,
and upon his horsemen, come on.
And the angel of God,
which went before Israel,
removed and went behind.
Oh, church, the angel. That, remember, the angel would follow them. That pillar cloud by day. Y'all remember that pillar cloud by night. The angel that was leading them, it moves, it goes over their head, and now it goes behind them. Now, what happened was, now, there was going to be a cloud that's going to separate the Egyptians from the Israelites, or the Hebrews. And the Bible says what, sir? That's going to be important. I come back to it. And the pillar cloud
went from before their face
and it stood behind them. I'm going to show you that's going to be important in a moment, because the cloud that was leading them in front of them goes over their head. Now it goes behind them. It's separating them and the Egyptians. Go to read, sir.
And it came between the camp of the Egyptians.
Go to read.
And the camp of Israel.
Go to read.
And it was a cloud and darkness to them.
Darkness on their side. Go to read, sir.
But it gave light by night to these.
Dark on one side, light on the other. You can't tell me God's not working here. I said, God, watch it. God's going to fight this battle. Go to read, sir.
So that the one came down near the other all the night.
Their path couldn't catch up with them. Where are they, Brother Powell? In the middle of the water. In the middle of the water. Go to read, sir. Go to read the book.
And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea.
Moses stretched out his hand over the sea.
And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind.
Strong east wind all that night. Come on. Made the sea just like God said he was going to do it. Made it dry land.
And the waters were divided.
And the waters were divided. Come on.
And the children of Israel.
And the children of Israel.
Went into the midst of
they
the
went into the midst of the sea.
Upon the dry
and they walked the awesomeness of God. He walking on dry land. Just like God said it was going to happen. It's exactly what's happening now. Go to read, sir.
And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand.
You know, that had to be an amazing sight, church. For you to be walking and the water is literally standing at attention. You can see the fish swimming as you walk by. But they can't swim the way you are. How awesome that had to have been. All right? And the book says what, sir?
And on the left.
Left, right, and left. A wall. And watch this now. The Egyptians, when they saw it open up, they went right in there too. Go to read, sir. Yeah, they chasing right behind them. You know, they weren't thinking. They weren't thinking. You know, they weren't thinking at all. I mean, if the water opened up like that and they go in, they on their own. But see, God had to bring them in too. Because why? They represent their past. God said, I'm going to take care of your past. And the Bible says what, sir?
Even all of Pharaoh's horses.
Even all of Pharaoh's horses.
His chariots.
His chariots.
And his horsemen.
All of his horsemen. Watch this, it came to pass
that in the morning
time,
watched the Lord, looked unto the host of the Egyptians.
God, see the Egyptians? Looked to the pillar of fire, come on.
And of the cloud.
Of the cloud.
And troubled the host of the Egyptians.
Watch this, God's going to start fighting now, y'all. God's going to start fighting for Israel. And the Bible says what, sir?
And took off their chariot wheels.
God is fighting, sir. Took off their wheels, didn't even have a wrench in his hand. Took the wheels off their chariot. Where is all this happening? In the middle of the Red Sea. And the Bible says what, sir?
So the Egyptians said.
Let us flee from the face. Now the enemy is saying, we better leave these folk alone. That's why you need to let God fight your battles. Stop trying to fight people yourself. You know, you don't have to worry about, but well, I'm scared to go to lunch because if I go to lunch, they're going to have a meeting on me. You go ahead and go to lunch. God will take care of the folk that's in the meeting. Matter of fact, when God fixes it, the folk that were meeting on you will be fighting each other. Yeah, after a while, they'll be fighting one another and forget all about you. Your job is to keep your trust in God. And the Bible says, hold you too long. And the Bible says what, sir? Go to read.
The Lord fighteth for them.
Watch this now. The Bible says God was fighting for them. God was fighting for them. And God will do the same thing with you. If you just get in that water, your path can God. Listen, that's God's plan. Now, the same man is to get everybody in the water. Yeah, that's God's plan. God's plan is to get you in the water. And the Bible says what, sir?
And the Lord said unto Moses.
Stretch out your hand. Go to read, sir.
That the waters may come again upon Egypt.
Watch it. And they made a cross. Stretch out your hand upon the waters, that the water may come on again upon the Egyptians. And the Bible says what, sir?
Upon their chariots.
The horses. Go to read, sir.
And Moses stretched forth his hand over the
Moses did what God told him to do. And the book said.
And
the sea returned to strength.
When the morning appeared.
When the morning came. Come on.
And
Watch this now. The waters are now closing in. The Egyptians tried to run back the other way. But the Bible says what?
And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea.
God overthrew them. Their past was taken care of where? In the midst of the sea. Listen, whenever you do a lesson like this, people will say, well, Brother Pounds, I've already been baptized. You know, I hear what y'all are saying, but I've already been baptized. This lesson will help you out. Because if you notice carefully, if you've been following this, the sermon today, you have two group of people who were in the same water on the same day at the same time. God saved one group, but condemned the other group. What's the difference? Good question. Ephesians chapter 5, at verse number 26. Now, Elder Burns said, I hope you interpret Exodus, because we've got to go back. Got to go back to Exodus. Now. The Bible, Ephesians 5 and verse 26 says what, sir?
That he might
sanctify and cleanse it
with the washing of water.
You only get in the water based on the word. Why did God save one group but condemn the other group? Because there was only one group God said to go in the water. So if you were baptized and you were not by God's authority, that means you went in, my friend, but it will not bring salvation to you. God only saved the group that obeyed him. One went in by his word, the other one did not. That's why one group survived and one group was condemned. And the book says, and we're back in Exodus as we wrap this lesson up. And the Bible says what, sir?
And the waters return.
The waters return.
And cover the
chariot. Watch this now. The waters return and cover the chariot.
And the horsemen.
Cover the horsemen.
And all the host of Pharaoh.
All the host of Pharaoh was covered that day, y'all.
That came into the sea.
After them.
There remained not so much as one.
Watch the book, church. Look how God took care of their past. The Bible says there remained not so much as one. Not one Egyptian was left. That's how completely God took care of their past. And God would do the same thing for us. But you got to submit to him in water baptism. And the Bible says what, sir?
But the children of Israel.
Yes. Go to read.
In the midst of the sea.
Midst of the sea.
And the waters for a wall.
Go to read.
Unto them on their right hand.
Right hand. Left hand. Come on.
Thus the Lord saved Israel.
That's what I'm trying to get. That's verse 40. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day. He saved them. What was the process of their salvation? Twofold. The blood had to be shed. And then number two, they had to go through the water. Well, before you and I are baptized, the blood has already been shed. But now you and I got to access the blood. But we cannot access the blood unless we go through the water. I gave you this. Let me warm this up and give it to you again. God puts the blood and water together. Get from it. Let's go quick. One sister about to go to sleep on me. I saw her. She nodded twice. I thought she was saying amen. But she about to go to sleep. All right. Ephesians 5, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 26. Then we're going to go to 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7. Then we're going to go to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then we're going to go to Matthew 26 and verse number 28. Then we're going to run over to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 21. Then I'm going to take you to the book of Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 5. Acts 22. And verse 16. Then I'm going to go to Romans chapter 5 and verse number 9. And I'm going to conclude this in Mark chapter 16. And sister, we got a lot of ink in that pen. We got a lot of ink in that pen, all that writing. Mark 16, verse 16. Don't worry about it. I got it downloaded in my mind. All right. Now, first of all, let's watch the Bible. Ephesians 5, 26 again says what?
That he might sanctify
and watch this now. And cleanse it
with the washing of water.
By the word, he cleansed with water. All right? 1 John 1, 7 says what? 1 John 1, 7. He cleansed with water. All right? 1 John 1, 7. Watch what the Bible says. 1 John 1 and verse number 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with the other. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us. Look at what we have, church. The blood cleans and the water cleans. And you can't reach the blood unless you go through the water. You see the blood, my friend, cannot be accessed unless you go through the water. You see, even though the blood was shed, if they didn't go through the water, they were still going to be in Egyptian bondage. Even though Christ died already on Calvary, if you don't go through the water, that means you will still die in your sins. The blood cleanse, the water cleanse. But then not only that, let me just do it. I'll do it backwards. Go to Matthew 26, 28 first. Go to Matthew 26, 28. And then I'm going to go to Acts 2:38. All right, Matthew 26, verse 28, and then Acts 2:38. Matthew 26, 28 says what, sir? Matthew 26, 28. Go to read.
For this is my blood.
Watch the book, church. For this is my blood of the New Testament.
Which is shed for many.
Watch this out. The blood was shed for many.
For the remission of sin.
The blood is for remission of sin. If the blood is for remission of sin, what's the water for? Acts 2:38. What's the water for? If the blood is for remission of sin, what's the water for? All right. Acts 2:38. Peter on Pentecost says what, sir?
Then Peter said unto them,
Peter said, repent and be baptized,
every one of you,
in the name of Jesus Christ, come on,
for remission of sin.
The water, you shall receive the gift
of the Holy
Spirit. The water is for remission of sin. The blood is for remission of sin. And you can't reach the blood until you go through the water. But then, not only that, but let's look at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 14. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 14. Let's watch what the Bible says. Hebrews 9, 14.
How much more?
Shall the blood of Christ,
who through the eternal Spirit
offered himself
without spot
to God,
purge the conscience.
What does the blood do? The blood purges the conscience.
From dead work.
The blood purges the conscience. What does the water do? Well, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 and verse 21, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water, the like figure, wherein to baptism doeth also now save us. Here it is, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. But baptism is what? It is an answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The water deals with the conscience. The blood deals with the conscience. And you can't reach the blood until you go through the water. Look at Revelation 1:5. Revelation 1:5. Revelation 1:5. Watch what the Bible says. Revelation 1:5. Watch the book. Watch the book. Yes, sir. Revelation 1:5. Go ahead and read. Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ. Come on.
Who is the faithful witness? Witness.
Yes.
And the first begotten
of the dead.
And the prince of
the kings
of the earth.
Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins.
In his own blood.
We were washed. Where? In the blood. Acts 22, verse 16. Ananias told Saul, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. And wash away your sin, calling on the name of the Lord. What does baptism do? What does the blood do? The blood washes away sin. What does the water do? Washes away sin. And you can't reach the blood unless you go through the water. And what God was showing us in the Old Testament, God was showing us that there was two parts to his plan to save man. Number one, the blood had to be shed. And it had to be an innocent animal, innocent lamb that was sacrificed. But yet and still, in order for the blood to be effective, they had to go through the water. Because I know that's right. Because Romans 5:9, the blood saves us. I said the blood saves us. Romans 5, verse number 9, we are saved by the blood. Remember, saved, salvation, soteria, we are delivered. What it means deliverance from? We have been delivered by the blood. Watch what the Bible says. If you haven't, sir, go and read. What do we?
Being now justified.
Watch the book now. Being now justified by his blood.
We shall be saved.
You see what the Bible says? That we're justified, declared not guilty by the blood, and it saves us. Well, if the blood saves, the water saves. Mark 16:16, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Look at what we have. The blood cleansed, the water cleansed. We see where the Bible tells us that the blood deals with the conscience, water deals with the conscience. We see what the Bible tells us in regards to the fact that the Bible says that it is the blood. It is the blood that washes, the water washes. We see the Bible tells us the blood saves, the water saves. And so therefore, my friend, everything that the blood does, we are able to access it in the waters of baptism. What do we have? Listen, the Bible says in Exodus 14, verse 40, God saved them. Remember our text. Go back to our text. Acts 2:47. Praising God, having faith with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. When God saved them, he added them to the church. I need you to understand this. I wish I had time to show y'all this, but I don't want to belabor the point because I'll take it to Exodus 15, verse 16, Exodus 19, verse number 4, that when God saved them, he called them peculiar. When God saved them, he called them priests. When God saved them, he called them kings. When God saves us today, we are, 1 Peter 2:9, we are peculiar. When God saves us, he makes us priests and he makes us kings. Just like he did for them, he does the same thing for us. But I need to show you this last point. I keep saying that last point. Don't mean nothing, but just sounds good right there. But when God saved them, what did God call them? When God saved Israel, what were they called? Because listen, my point with this, I start off, remember, God saved all of Israel the same way. Everybody had to have bloodshed. Everybody had to pass through the water. That's how God saved. Now, look at the Bible quickly. Acts 7 and verse 37. In the book of Acts chapter 7 and verse number 37, watch what the Bible. What did God call the one who saved? What did God call him?
This is that Moses.
This is that Moses.
Said unto the children of Israel,
that said unto the children of Israel,
a prophet shall the Lord.
Your God.
Go to read.
Raise up unto you of your brethren.
Like unto me.
Just like me. That's why I make a comparison between Moses and Christ. Just like me. Him shall you hear. Come on, sir. Now, listen. When they went through the wilderness, when they went through the Red Sea, they were in the wilderness. Remember that. He brought them from Egypt through the Red Sea in the wilderness. When they went through the water, they entered the wilderness. When they were in the wilderness, verse 38, what were they called? Go to read, sir.
That was in the church in the wilderness.
The Bible says they were a church. They were a church. When they made it to the wilderness, God called them the church. Who made up the church? All those that God saved. How did he save them? The blood was shed. They passed through the water. God called them the church. The same thing we find at Acts 2:47. Praising God. Having favor with all the people. And the Lord.